Are you ready to sell more books? I'm Brian Cohen.
And I'm Claire Taylor. If you're ready to get your books into the hands of the right readers
and make some more money,
you've come to the right podcast.
And now it's time to talk tips, tricks, and news to help you sell more of your books. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Sell More Book Show, episode 462. I'm Brian Cohen from Best Page Forward, joined by Claire Taylor from FFS Media. Claire, because we now record two of these at a time, even though we do them every other week, we don't yet know how the Alice Luck Kickstarter is continuing. But what was like your hope? What is like your dream of when this episode airs? This has happened.
When this episode airs, I hope that we've found peace on earth and that everyone has what they need to feel whole.
I like that.
And I think it'll happen in the next week.
Yeah, it really is weird that someone flew that Alice Luck weather balloon over Texas. It's just...
Yeah, man, bad timing on that.
I know. Who knew that this organization would have the same name as your Kickstarter?
I know. And then they stole my character art. Man.
And it was all over the balloon.
I'm ruined, actually. In the last week, I'm ruined.
The funny part is about that terrible joke is that people will have forgotten about the weather balloon by the time this airs. And so.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
They will never forget about the Alice Luck weather balloon.
No, they won't. So I hope the Kickstarter is continuing to do well at this point in time.
Yeah. You and me both.
Yeah. And so for me, I've got my webinar on Thursday for Writing What You Love to Market. So definitely go check that out on the show notes. And let's do a previous week's question. How would you use AI narration and human narration differently? And how do you plan on trying AI narration this year? Hell's Bells and Mast Cells said, I think it's a great affordable option for chronically ill authors or readers who are unable to read themselves. Have been thinking about converting some old blog posts into audio to make it more accessible. Very cool, HB and MC.
Yeah, that's awesome. Steph Pajonas said, I have a six-book series that I made AI audio of in 2021. I plan to do more, especially now that the voices are getting better and better. My goal is to actually make a profit with my books and audio before I do human narration. Once that happens, I will be happy to pay for it.
Very nice, Steph. And Darren Sapp said, I'd consider it for a large nonfiction book, but only one that I didn't need to sell on Audible. Anything else has potential cons with AI, unless you're hiring a B-list actor. Traditional narrators do a fantastic job, can finish in days, with 10 days for ACX proofing or more, and can cost less than AI. That's because some AI providers charge a flat fee, while human narrators charge per finished hour. The AI promoters are pushing out some misleading info. I've only played around with the Google Play Store one. I haven't tried like Revoice or whatever these other ones are called. I'm certain that they charge money and that you do have to factor in all those costs for sure.
Yeah, it sounds like Steph found one in at least 2021 that was affordable enough or, right, you know, more affordable than a narrator. So I'm sure those options are out there.
Right.
Even if the man doesn't want you to know about it.
Yeah, the man. let's go to our top story of the week. Pick a lane. Picking a lane, a single direction for your author career for months or years at a time, doesn't need to be boring, says J.R. Frontera in a post on her blog. It said a post on your blog, which isn't accurate. I probably
it's aggressive.
Wrote It's your blog should have this post. The prevailing wisdom to authors who want to earn a full-time living writing books is to pick a lane, i.e. find something that is marketable, that you enjoy writing, says Frontera. Then write a book a month, rapid release, and publish them all into Kindle Unlimited, all in that lane. Rinse and repeat until you feel like retiring, die, or burn out. Quote, staying in one lane sounded boring as hell, she said, end quote. So Frontera charged ahead doing her own thing for a full decade, writing whatever the heck she wanted. Then one day she realized that as a reader, she hated what she was doing as a writer. By spreading herself over multiple genres and series, she was always leaving readers wanting more, yet never delivering on that promise. And so began the quest for her own author lane. At a Becca Syme talk, Frontera learned that writing the same thing for the same people for a long time can lead to success, even if you don't focus on what's selling or what's hot. Quote, it sort of hit me like running face first into a brick wall, she says, as it paired perfectly with what I'd already been lamenting, not being able to give my readers more of what they wanted, end quote. Frontera has since picked her lane and plans to stick to it. Claire, there's a lot in this. There is the, of course, the idea that we have said isn't necessarily a strategy, which is rapid releasing and Kindle Unlimited. These are tactics. The idea that writing in the same direction for some time is boring. And the idea that you can write without writing to market and just be consistent with the book you're writing and still find some level of success. We've talked about whether that's financial success or other success, artistic, creative. So what do you think about all this? What do you kind of want to tackle first here?
There's a lot to tackle here. I don't think that Frontera is wrong about anything. I think that it is going to help you if you write in the same universe for a while. That helps. Helps increase those odds of people buying more books without you having to keep finding them over and over again and convincing them to buy the next book. And I think that you can have a lot of variety while you do that. I mean, it's no surprise that I'm kind of in the same lane. I have four pen names and I'm not going to be expanding into a fifth pen name. But within those four pen names, so I have a lot of different things that I do. I kind of take these different approaches. So one of them is more, I'm writing to market. We're doing this. Of course, it's not exactly to market because that's physically impossible for me.
Right.
But it's basically to market. I write it. I do more, you know, I'm writing more books this year in it because I'm like, yep, this is still selling me, you know, this is still selling a lot of books, making me a lot of money. And then I have my comedy pen name where I am jumping around and I get to do that. And I have a few people who are jumping around with me and that's fine. And then I have a couple other different series that I'm going to be writing in those worlds. So you can create variety in the world that you're writing in so that there is some sort of consistency. So yeah, I think that this is a smart approach to things. And for people who struggle with feeling like they're caged in, this is a good approach. It's also very important to ask yourself, am I doing this because I need variety or am I doing this out of a fear?
Yeah.
So that's where I bust through your wall like the Kool-Aid man and go, have you heard about the Enneagram? It's important to get clear on why you're doing the things you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to have a why. You need to have a reason. And otherwise, you're just going to keep getting pulled in a million different directions. And that's why I think picking a lane, the concept of it scares people because it sounds like you will now write 30 consecutive books in this subgenre and you will never have any creativity again. But it doesn't have to be like that. You get to choose the rules. You get to choose the rules and you need to make sure that you are not you are not feeling like you have to do things a certain way. All shoulds can be questioned in this world. So
you are, and you should question them.
I tried to avoid saying that, but you know, Claire, I've got a hot potato of wisdom for you. How mm-hmm. do you pick a lane when you realize that you're spread too thin and you're already writing in multiple genres and series?
Yeah, so I do see this a lot. People come to me when they are trying to decide what lane to stay in. They write a lot of different genres, different series, and they don't know what to do next. So there are three sort of starter questions that I like to ask people. The first one is, what do you want your writing to do for you? And we're talking emotionally, how do you want it to fulfill you? What do you want it to do for other people? What effect are you hoping for? And then what do you want your money to do for you? I don't care what you want your money to do for other people, because we're never acting on what we want our money to do for other people. It's always what we want it to do for us, for ourselves. But so those are the three things that you want to get clear on. And then you can look at your different options and say, in this moment, which one is going to give me the most of those things? Which one is going to do the most, give me what I want out of my writing? What's going to be delivering what I want to my readers? And what is going to be getting me the amount of money that I need for satisfaction? Once you know what you want your money to do for you, you tend to need a lot less of it, because you're earning it and spending it in fulfilling ways. So those are the questions that I use to guide people. And then generally, it's their instinct has been telling them to do that the whole time. So it's just a way to sort of verify your intuition, which is coming from a very creative place. And then you feel a lot better about going forward with it, and you tend to stick with it.
Yeah. So you're kind of saying, if you're guided by intuition instead of purely money, you will make decisions that might allow you to get some of both.
Yes, possibly. But also, no one's guided entirely by money. They're guided by what they think money will do for them. And then they go and they spend it in ways that are not fulfilling what they're actually seeking. And so then they need more and more and more and more money, because they're not getting what they need. It's like eating empty calories. You're not getting the nutrition you need. So once you get clear on what you want your money to do for you, how you want it to make you feel, what you're seeking through money, you can ask yourself, is that really how I want to proceed? Do I really want to seek this through money? Or is there a way that I can get the same emotional fulfillment through something else and just need less money, you know, the basics to pay your bills, to save some, to enjoy life a little bit. That doesn't take nearly as much money as whatever nebulous amount you're thinking in your head of, oh, but that person's making $1 million a year. I can make $1 million a year. Okay, how am I going to do that? It's like, whoa, 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 hold up. You're about to start making some really bad decisions.
Yeah, this marathoner runs 40 miles a day. I can run 40 miles a day. You shouldn't. Please don't.
And do you really want to?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should. You can add other decision criteria to layer on top of that.
Agreed.
All right, Brian. What strategy would you use to keep your options open for the future while you focused on one genre or series for now?
If you're trying to keep your options open while you are staying in one lane and focused in one general direction, it is okay to put things in a 2024 journal or a 2025 journal. We don't have to do everything right away. It is absolutely okay to say, what a great idea. It's not a now idea, but it would be a great idea to do it in the future. Now, there's another option too. What if there was a way to incorporate your great idea into the thing that you're doing? Claire, you talk a lot about theme and your materials for authors. You can maybe bring in the theme of a big cool idea that you had into a book four of an existing series that you're writing. You can bring a character that you were really excited about into this universe. There is no shortage of things that you can do to either save an idea for later or find a way to, hey, be creative and change your idea around so that it actually fits in the thing that you're doing. I mean, to that advice, like if you have a scene you don't like, the advice I've gotten from you is stop it and try writing a scene that you love doing. And you can absolutely take ideas that you love and smush them into your existing idea. There is no rule against you being allowed to do that.
I love that. Yeah, if you have a protagonist you can't stop thinking about, bring him in as like another character, like a side character. If you're bringing protagonist energy as a secondary character, people are immediately going to like that character. And heck, you can do a spinoff later. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Claire, there's a rumbling in the ground. I think it means a storm is a coming. I don't know what that was.
The zhuzh storm.
It was a zhuzh. Put a little zhuzh on it. So, Claire, when is it appropriate or necessary for a book to have a trigger warning?
I think that as far as when it's necessary or appropriate for a book to have a trigger warning depends a lot on the existing expectations for that series or for that book itself. You might put a trigger warning for particular content on something that would otherwise be sort of a lightweight read, right? Maybe it's a beach read, but there's something that needs to be warned about. I can't even imagine putting a trigger warning on my serial killer books. Like, you know, it's a serial killer. It's going to be bad. There's going to be violence. There's going to be childhood trauma. Like, that's what you're there for. So I don't see the need to do it personally myself. I tend to not put trigger warnings on things because I write for adults. And I know that adults also need, you know, they also appreciate it sometimes. But my worldview is that life is messy and sometimes you come up against hard things and it's not true to life to not keep put those in books. But that's just me. If you want to put a trigger warning, put it. If people make fun of you for it, that's fine. Everyone gets to say what they want to say. But if it seems appropriate to you, do it. But I think generally if the book, if it's expected to have certain intense content, you probably don't need it.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed.
All right, Brian, if you suddenly had a family emergency that took up half your days, what activities would you eliminate?
If I suddenly had a family emergency that took away half of my working hours, took away half of my days, I would really need to get honest with myself about what I actually need to be doing. I've actually recently tried something new where I only put 6 things on my to-do list. And the goal is to get those 6 things done. And when I get those 6 things done, I can do whatever the heck I want. The other day, I got them done at 12:30 or so. And I was just like, great, I'm going to do what I love doing. I'm going to play with my ads for like an hour. And that shows how big of a nerd I am. But it was what I wanted to do. It's something I've been wanting to do. I read a couple of nonfiction books. And it was great. And it was because I had cut down on what I even am allowed to do. But what if I was forced into it? You gotta do the urgent things, but you can't ignore the important things. I would try to do a couple urgent things a day, but try to make time for an important thing that's gonna allow me to grow. And then I would say, look, some things aren't gonna get done. I would tell my readers, some things are gonna get delayed. And I think most people would be cool with that.
So. Awesome. Yeah, I had a character in Jessica Christ who was a media mogul. He made 3 decisions a day and then his day was done, but he was trying to cut back to 2. So
I love that.
That's the power move.
I want to be just like the media mogul.
He was a conspiracy theorist.
Nice. I love it. So, Claire, when is a good time to use Kickstarter as an author?
Oh, boy. Okay. I would say it's a good time to use Kickstarter as an author if you want to find new ways to sell your books that aren't dependent on, you know, large popular platforms that take a large cut of your royalties that make money off of your creative labor. Kickstarter takes some fees just to keep running, but they do cool things with it. It's much less than other sites. So I think that's one time when it's good to start Kickstarter. I think that it's good to start Kickstarter as soon as possible, at least dip your toes into it. I think that it's a very promising platform. I know it's not for everyone, and there are going to be some personalities that just, it just drains you. But if you have that burst energy, which I know a lot of people do, and a lot of people feel really bad about burst energy, like they're defective because they're not consistent. Well, it's just a different type of energy. And I think that Kickstarter is really good for the burst energy. Because it's a stop time, and then you're done. You move on to other things. So getting in early and starting to build an audience there, it's never too soon for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Brian. When is it time to join a mastermind?
So it's time to join a mastermind when you are an author who thrives in a social environment. And you are looking for an opportunity for growth. I think that too many authors are in their little vacuum. And some authors are like, I am very comfortable in my vacuum. Thank you very much. Well, some authors, like myself, more extroverted, might need that additional communication with other people on a regular basis. I've been a part of multiple masterminds. They've all helped me to level up in various ways, came up with the business idea for Best Page Forward, blurbs in a mastermind, made some great connections in some other masterminds, running my own mastermind for people right now. And I think that masterminds allow you to have some growth, and they force neutral observers to look at your entire business and find areas that you might have been intentionally ignoring. And so you have this great opportunity for growth. So I would say it's not for everyone, but it's definitely for authors who like that kind of environment and who are looking for a way to get out of being stuck. So that's awesome. What I have to say about that. Claire, to round out the lightning round, this kind of goes back to something we talked about a couple of weeks ago. What are the benefits to staying a part-time author versus going full-time?
There are definitely benefits that you can get from being a part-time author versus a full-time author. Each of those is going to appeal to a different type of person. And a lot of the times it comes down to how much uncertainty can you handle? Can you handle knowing that there will be bad months and you don't necessarily know when those are going to be? You can get a lot of data from a lot of people and have guesses, but from having been in this a while, guesses are, you know, they don't count for much. So are you okay with that? Do you thrive with the uncertainty? Does that give you motivation, or is it going to shut you down? So I think the important thing also to note when we have this conversation about part-time versus full-time, what does that mean? What does that mean? Where is the line between part-time and full-time? Are we really going to set hours on it? Are we going to say, well, I'm technically not a full-time author because I also do things on the side. I do consulting on the side. So am I not a full-time author? Do I not qualify? Even though I spend, you know, most of my money comes from my royalties, right? So we can really get into the semantics here. And I think the important thing is that you need to detach from the identity that you're clinging to of I'm a full-time writer, I'm a part-time writer, I'm a hobbyist writer. And just look at your situation and assess what is going to make you feel more creative when you need to sit down and write. What do you need to do for yourself? And just forget about, well, does this make me this or this or this? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's just all made up. So I think that's the important thing when considering that is how is clinging to that identity helping you? And spoiler, it's not.
Yeah. Love it. I love the season two of the Sell More Book Show because I feel like we're dropping truth bombs every 5 seconds. We need a question of the week, Claire. Obviously, we talked in the top story about picking a lane. Do we want to talk about that, or do we want to talk about any of the things we discussed in the lightning round?
Let's talk about picking a lane.
Okay. So do you, intend to pick a lane for 2023 when it comes to your books, or would you rather be trying a lot of different things all at once?
Change in lanes with no blinkers. That's how we're heading into the year. Just
I just put Austin on my hazards drivers. so that nobody knows which side I'm going to merge.
Perfect. Yeah.
No, I would never do that, of course.
That's a great question, Brian.
Thank you. So you can answer that question of the week at question of the week at sellmorebookshow.com or at the in the Sell More Book Show after party for the question of the week. That would be the sounder, is those three all put together. And then, oh, yeah, our goodness. Faces with wow. flowers around them. But yeah.
Season two is wild. The musical. Two. Sell More Book oh, Show, man. The musical.
Yeah, it really is. We've done a lot more singing in season two. So, Claire, any last things you want people to think about? Let's see. If it's February 15th, how many days are left in the Alice Luck Kickstarter?
Two.
Okay, go do it, people. Go do it.
Man, that was quick math.
You did good.
17 minus 15 equals two.
You did great work. You did great mm-hmm. work. And Thank then on you. Thursday, which is tomorrow when this episode is live, go check out our Writing What You Love to Market webinar, which will be pretty great, I think. So thank you for listening. We appreciate you. Thank you for listening to the singing. We did a poll what people were more afraid of, AI taking over the world or Brian singing. And it was vastly in favor of Brian singing. So I appreciate you indulging my singing. I appreciate
facing
all
those
of you.
Fears. Yeah.
Facing those fears. That's what this is. Fear Factor season book. So thank you, everybody. We look forward to continuing to serve you in the Sell More Book Show. For Claire, I'm Brian. Have a great week of bookselling, everybody. We'll be back next week with episode 463. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Sell More Book Show. Visit the website at www.sellmorebookshow.com for detailed show notes and subscription information, or to send us news or comments for use on the show. Also, please take a moment to subscribe to the show and leave us a review. Thank you very much for listening, and happy bookselling!